2 Corinthians chapter number 9. As we get there tonight, I want you to stop and think. And as my life is, I approach missions and giving to missions probably quite different than a lot of people. It is not about the money. When you get ready come Sunday to fill out your faith promise card, it's not about the money that you give. God is not broke. He does not need your money. What you and I need is to learn what God is trying to teach us through the giving of our money. And can I tell you that the giving of our financial resources and our material things is not the end of our spiritual walk with God. That is basically the beginning and the foundation of our spiritual walk with God. And when you look at this thing, everything God does in our life, He does for a reason, because He is trying to teach us something. There's a reason tonight we call it Faith Promise Missionary Giving, because God is trying to teach us about faith and about how to walk with God in faith. And listen, I've been studying through Hebrews 11 and 12, and in Hebrews chapter 11, he said, now, I like that little three-letter word, amen? He didn't say yesterday, he didn't say in the future, he said now, at this present time, faith is. Faith ought to be a living, breathing, spiritual part of our life that controls everything we do for the glory of God in the cause of Christ. And so God is trying to teach us great and wondrous things when He uses this little thing of faith promise. Now, the end product of us giving to Faith Promise is missionaries get to go to the field, and people on the field in foreign countries get the gospel, and people get saved, and churches are built, and testimonies are left in those places, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But that is not the thrust of what God is trying to do in our lives. Hey, folks, God can do whatever He wants to take care of us, amen? And take care. Hey, listen, through the last year, we mentioned the other day, we've had several health issues we're trying to deal with. And so we've had to back off our preaching schedule through last year and in the fall of last year. And one of the things that God said to me, He said, I'm going to show you that I can take care of you. Probably 6 years ago or so, I preached in a church, and a young man up in Pennsylvania gave his life to serve the Lord. That was in March. That fall, he enrolled at Pensacola Christian College. He graduated from there. I think he got a master's degree from there. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing, but the other day, the office manager at our mission called me, and he said, brother, there's a check laying here. He said that we're not sure who it belongs to. He said, I just wanted you to know. And he said, we find out, I'll call you. He called me a couple of days later, and he said, oh, by the way, I found out who it belongs to. I said, who does it belong to? He said, you. I said, well, praise the Lord, amen. And he said, it's from this guy, and he called his name. And I said, man, I haven't heard a thing from him in over 6 years. And I said, why? He said, I thought, man, you might want to know. He said, the check's for $2,400. Smile. You say, what are you trying to say? God can take care of us, amen? He doesn't need you particularly. He doesn't need me particularly to give my money, but He wants to teach me through my giving what He wants me to know. Now you come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and He begins to address this issue. You come to verse number 7. He said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a grouchy, irritable, out of sorts giver. No, He loves a cheerful giver, amen? Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I've been waiting to get in that church when the preacher says it's time to take the offering. Somebody in the back goes, amen, praise the Lord, glory to God, let's do it again, amen. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what you do when you go to the ball game? Are you a cheerful fan? My wife, when I got back in the room last night, she said, where you been? I said, what do you mean? She said, you didn't get to watch that? I said, no, I had some things to do, honey. She said, we won. And West Virginia University beat the number one team in the nation last night. Well, that's great. And I'm not a irritable, grouchy fan, amen? Smile at me. Now watch this. So he said, God loves... You say, preacher, why fill out this faith promise card? Let me run rabbit trail. He said, every man as he purposeth in his heart. What does this faith promise card do? It makes you purpose in your heart what you're going to do. Amen? And if you don't purpose in your heart to do something, I guarantee you will not accomplish it. If you do not have a plan when you wake up in the morning about what you want to accomplish tomorrow, you'll get to the end of tomorrow and you say, well, what did I get done? You'll have accomplished nothing or very little because you didn't purpose to do something, amen? And so this card and that whole thought, that's you purpose in your heart. But now watch as he talks about this giving, and you understand through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 what he's talking about. He's talking about giving to missions and to the missionary. And he says in verse number 8 now, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, you ought to underline these words. That ye, always having all sufficiency in some things. No. That ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, we think, and we got this prosperity gospel stuff going on around the world today, that you give and God's going to give to you, because that verse says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you. Yes, that verse is in the Bible, but we do not give for the purpose of getting back from God. Amen. What he's trying to teach us in the giving part is that we can trust God with everything we have. Because then he said, but ye having all sufficiency in all things. Listen, when we walked in that hospital room today with the preacher, and that there's family gathered around that bed, and they have just found out what the diagnosis was with that sweet lady laying in that bed. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that $1 million is not what they needed. They needed to know there was an all-sufficient grace, an all-sufficient love, an all-sufficient God that can meet every need they have, fill the void in that lonely heart, cheer them in the darkest hours of their night. Hey, we can trust God tonight, amen. And he's trying. Hey, listen, if you can't trust God to give, you're not going to trust God to live. Amen. If you can't trust God with your pocketbook, hey, you come down here and the Bible says that we're to trust the Lord with the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead and confess all that, and we get saved and we trust God with our eternal destiny of our soul. But we can't trust him to take care of us, and we can't trust him to provide, and we can't trust him. So God is trying to teach us how to trust him. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Wait a minute. Must be chapter 1. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "What, you said you got a new Bible." My kids talked me into doing something the other day. And I'm trying to get used to it. We bought 4 Bibles of all the same type. And then we traded them. See, I'm a preacher. My son's a preacher. My youngest son's a preacher. My son was a preacher. So we traded them. And so for the next year, we're going to preach out of those Bibles, put our notes in there, and then trade them to the next person. And in 4 years, I get my Bible back with all my kids' sermon notes in them. I won't have to study for a month. So Sundays, amen. But that's not where I lost that verse. Paul said we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Where's that at, amen? I wish I had my old Bible back. Wasn't in my notes. Anyhow, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul, when he talked about all that was transpired in their lives, he said we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Do you trust God? I'm serious. Do you trust God? What's he trying to teach you through faith promise? He's trying to teach you how to trust him, to ultimately trust him with everything you had. I said it yesterday, and the preacher kind of looked at me, but I'm going to tell you what, folks, one of the ultimate tests of our trust in God is one of these days the door back there is going to open, and a pretty young lady is going to be all dressed in white, and he's going to walk her down here, and he's going to stand about right here, and he's going to say, somebody's going to say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And he's going to say, not me. Amen? No. He's going to say, her mother and I, and he's going to hand that young lady over to that guy, and all boys are scum. Amen? But those of you who have been there, am I right? What a step of faith, what a step of trust to take that precious young lady that you have guarded and protected and nourished and taught, and then hand her over to somebody and let him take the leadership of that young lady's heart and life. And how are you going to learn to trust God in that day? You start way back down the road. There's a missionary right now in the outback territory of Northern Australia in a little city called Katherine. Just started the first church in Katherine, Australia, getting ready to start the second church with the Aboriginal people out in the outback of the Northern Territory. I'll never forget when I met his mother and dad, and they asked me to come down to Greenwood, South Carolina, and they took me out to their southern home and set me down there and fed me dinner and fed me shrimp cocktail and shrimp everything else. And sit down, and we drank coffee and ate cake, and we get done. She said, "Now." I said, "What?" She said, "Tell me how I send my kids and those grandkids to the mission field." I said, "Sis, you got to trust God. God is trying to teach us that we can trust Him, that we would have all sufficiency in all things. In all things." Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He's trying to teach us that we can have extreme trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven. I don't know about you, but God has never failed me. Even when we were holding hands in a burning airplane at 38,000 feet in the ascension out of Johannesburg, South Africa, and the plane was about ready to catch fully on fire, it did until we got back down, thank God. But I'm going to tell you, in that hour, people said, "Was you nervous?" Yes. Was you a little scared? A little bit. Because if I'm going to die on the side of a mountain, I want it to be in the Holy Land, and that's West Virginia. Amen. I don't want to die on the side of a mountain somewhere where I can't even speak the language. Amen? And we just said, "God, if this is it, it's been a great life." God's trying to teach you, you can extremely trust Him. Now look at this next verse. He said, "As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth." What? I don't want to bring back up all the stuff that's happened, but there's people sitting here tonight in this city that every treasure they invested their life in has been scattered to the four winds of this property, never to be assembled back the way it was ever again. And their treasure is gone. Huh? But he said his righteousness, your righteousness, those that give, remaineth forever. Not only can we extremely trust God, he's trying to teach us what true eternal treasures are all about. Can I tell you that these things we hang on our walls and these things that we slide under our bed and pull out once a year and decorate our houses with and boxes of things that we count as treasures in one small moment, one small that minute of time through a fire, through a storm can be destroyed and taken away, that we're laying up for ourselves tonight eternal treasures in heaven that remains forever tonight. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but that's what I want today, amen. People say, "What are you leaving your children?" Nothing but a heritage. I mean, listen, People ask me, so why are you so adamant about the chaplaincy? I'll tell you one of the reasons I'm so adamant about the military chaplaincy, that back during the Korean War, a young man enlisted in the Army, became a soldier, went to the Korean War, during the Korean conflict, was injured on the battlefield, and there laying in a hospital in Korea, an Army chaplain walked in and knelt down beside of his bed and talked to that young man and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved, and he come back, and he got his future bride that they were engaged to be married, and they said, you got to go to the church and you got to hear what I heard, and took her to a little Baptist church, and she got saved, and they got married, and they had three boys and a girl, and that young's name was Everdy Moore, and Everdy Moore got saved on the battlefield in Korea, and now he had three sons and a daughter. His one son's Lonnie. Lonnie and Gail Moore had four daughters. The one daughter, Sarah. Sarah's married to Tim Morrison, my son. They have three kids. All three of them saved. Now you got four generations of eternal treasure. Don't even know that chaplain's name. Don't even know who he was. Let alone the countless hundreds of people that Everdy Moore has won to the Lord Jesus Christ. His grandson preached your retreat the other day, Matt Moore. That man's life has affected a world. Eternal treasures. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about? He said, don't lay up for yourself, therefore, treasures in earth where thief can break in and steal and moths can corrupt and all that. He said, but lay up for yourself, therefore, treasures in what? There's two things you're going to take to heaven with you when you die. That Bible that's on your lap, the people you've helped trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? That's all you're taking. You say, I got $1 million in the bank, and your relatives and your kids will fuss and fight over it. Hello? What kind of eternal treasure? I was telling the preacher today, it's intriguing to me, and I've thought for years and even preached that there was no physical heritage. When I did hear that about Everdy Moore and all them people, I was envious, brother, because nobody. When I got saved, I was the first person in my family to get saved. My son's pastoring in Woodsville, New Hampshire, and the city got a grant to study your heritage. And so he said, Dad, they said I can use this Ancestry.com as much as I want, free of charge, since I live in the city, and I want to find out where we came from. And he began to study the heritage, my side and his mom's side. And you go back this way, and a man named Andrew Jackson Robertson served in the Civil War with the 42nd Virginia Military. And you go back on this side, and a guy named Andrew David Morrison served in the Civil War in the 43rd Virginia Military. And they served side by side at Gettysburg. Hello? Well, that was intriguing. I'm thinking, that's really good. He said, Dad, but I got the census and I got the records. And he said, and Mom's great-great-grandfather got out and became a Baptist preacher. And Dad, your great-great-grandfather got out and became a Baptist preacher. And so he said, where is Alderson Baptist Church? I said, it's in Somersville, West Virginia. I said, I preach all the time. They support the ministry. He said, guess what? He's buried there. Mom's great-great-grandfather's buried in the graveyard. So I called the preacher. I said, what's the deal? He said, yeah. He said, we, as near as we can tell, he started this church. 5 generations later, that church is supporting granddaughter, great, 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 whatever. I can't ever get that stuff straight, amen. In West Virginia, everybody's related, amen. Hey, listen. And his righteousness remaineth forever. That's what God's wanting to do in your life. Amen. pastor got to tell me this story about that lady that got saved here, and now her son targeted that church. I like to shout it all over Olive Garden, and we scared the waiter half to death, and he wouldn't bring us no soup. Amen. So, that's eternal treasures. But now watch this. Watch what happens. It goes on a little farther. He says, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he says in verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister food, bread for your food, and underline this, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's extreme trust. It's eternal treasures. But you know what I got to thinking about, brother? This just thrills me. Amen. I'd never met this Brother Kinsey till tonight, but I've met his dad. I've been in meetings at Rock Cave Baptist Church in Rock Cave, West Virginia, with his dad when I started deputation 23 years ago. And everybody, you go to West Virginia, they talk about his dad. Amen. They talk about it's your brother, Bert Kinsey, isn't it? That's an evangelist. Buster Kinsey, that's an evangelist. They talk about him all over that state. And you say, well, preacher, what is that? It's when you start to think about what God does when you give to missions. Okay? We support a man named Scott Hall. Scott Hall is on his second stint of being a missionary in Kenya, Africa. Support him the first time he went, support him when he went back. I've preached down there in six churches that were started because of the ministry of missionary Scott Hall. People have gotten saved because Scott Hall went to Kenya, Africa. Now, you know what that verse means then? He said, you've multiplied your seed sown. I would have never been able to go to Kenya, Africa and stay and live and reach people and start churches. But through my giving, I sent a man who went there and stayed and sowed the seed and started churches. Now I have seed because of my giving in Kenya, Africa. And God has multiplied my seed sown, and he has increased the fruits of my righteousness. I have fruit. I've been giving to missions for 42 years of my life. When my wife and I were preparing to get married 42 years ago, come April the 26th of this year, the first thing we did is we sat down and said, okay, here's how it's going to be. The first 10% belongs to God. That's the tithe. The next thing will be the missions offering. And we started, even before we were married, taking what we had and giving to missions and giving our tithe and giving to missions. And for 42 years, God has blessed it. One of the first missionaries we ever supported was a guy, Norm Johnston, who was in Korea starting churches in South Korea. Tremendous fella. Well, he's come off the field, but there's churches all over South Korea. Hello? There is seed and fruits of my righteousness in South Korea. We've supported a family in Haiti ever since I started giving to missions. There is fruit and seed that abounds in Haiti. Somebody say amen. Does that not get you excited? Huh? So it extends. Now listen to me. It's eternal. It's extreme trust. It's eternal treasures. It extends my testimony to the world. You know what's going to happen to you one day, brother, when you get to heaven? Some guy from Costa Rica is going to walk up and say, hey, brother, how you doing? I'm glad you made it through the storm. Amen. Thank you, because you sent a missionary, I got saved. You multiplied your seed. You extended your testimony to Costa Rica. Last year, the missionary was from Spain that was retiring. You extended your testimony to Spain. Hello? And you did all that by giving $20 a week? Yeah? Because look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then I'll give you the last thought and quit. See, I told you, I was trying to give you all of it in one shot. Amen?
2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what he says. But down in verse number 11, he said, ye also, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, watch this. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of one person. No. By the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. How many supporting churches you have, Brother Kinsey? Do you mind if I ask? 60. So God took 60 churches like Pine Bluff Baptist Church, and through the means of many persons, put a missionary on the field. And because of that, your righteousness remaineth forever. If God would choose to take him home tonight and let him graduate to heaven, there's three churches that are in Costa Rica because of you, that'll keep on preaching the gospel because of you, and just keep going and going and going. Brother Irving Clark has a young lady in his church that was last year when I preached for him, was going to Florida State University. I know you're not supposed to say that in this church, but at Florida State University. And her grandmother or great-grandmother was won to the Lord by Adoniram Judson. Hello? Wouldn't you like to have been the guy that supported Adoniram Judson? That you still have fruit that remains on the mission field. Now come back to 2 Corinthians 7. Let me give you one last thought. This is the one that thrills me, gets me excited. I like it all, amen. 2 Corinthians 9, I'm sorry. I like it all, but I'm just giving you scripture one after the other. But notice what he says in verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. For by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Notice twice in those passages of Scripture, he said, causes through us thanksgiving to God, but is an abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It's an extreme trust. It's an eternal treasure he's trying to teach us about. It's an extending our testimony, but it's exalted thanksgiving. We live in a country and a nation that has forgotten how to be thankful for anything. Amen. And God's trying to teach us. If you could get on a plane tonight and go to Costa Rica, and you get off that plane, when we read that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said that ye also helping together by prayer for us, for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, that thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Tonight in Costa Rica, they're not thanking God for Pine Bluff Baptist Church, but they are thanking God for Brother Kinsey and his wife. And that ought to thrill us tonight. But see, in our American thinking, that's not the way we act. We want somebody to come by, pat us on the back, good job, way to go, attaboy, you're great, you know that? There's people sitting home tonight pouting spiritually on God because they didn't think anybody appreciated what they do and what they did. Hey, folks, I got news for you. If you've been given to missions, you've been involved in giving to the cause of Christ, there's people all over this world that's thanking God for the missionary, and we ought to thank God tonight that we had part of it and could be involved in it and be what was at the background of it. Hey, we don't need the credit. We just need to know what's going on, amen. Listen, when I 1978, when God got a hold of my heart, God talked me into going to Mexico on a mission trip with a guy named Carlos Dimmers. What a mess, amen, brother. Brother Bullock knows him,
And so there you are, 1978, March of 1978. I'm on a bus to Mexico. My wife is a month away from expecting our first child. I didn't want to go. She said, go, it'll be all right. Got down there, God got a hold of my heart. I said, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, you can do it. Came back, went to Bible college. Brother Dennis became a friend. 30 years almost to the day, I'm standing in Hillsboro, South Africa, preaching for Jeff Demarest, who's Carlos's son, who our church has supported ever since he left to do mission work almost 30 years ago, and I'm preaching for him. Hello? And people walked up to me and said, thanks for sending us a missionary. I got saved. Can I tell you? This exalted Thanksgiving, I just thank God He lets me be part of it. When I was laying on that bed, not knowing if I'd ever get up and do this again, I said, God, if you just let me be part of it, I will be eternally thankful just to be part of it. There's some of you today that are just thankful to be alive today, aren't you? There's people on the mission field thankful to be spiritually alive tonight because of you. That ought to well up in us an exalted thanksgiving. I kind of think maybe that that's what the psalmist was talking about when he was looking down through there and he said, we're to enter his courts with praise and into his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Our prayer life is so wrapped up in gimme, gimme, gimme. All of our kids were in Christmas time and all the grandkids, and they tell me, they call me, and he said, now, Dad, Poppy, we're not coming home unless you do two things. We don't care about Christmas presents. We don't care about all that, but you are deep frying a turkey, right? And you are doing a Cajun shrimp boil, right? I said, sure. I did 20 pounds of shrimp this year. The youngest granddaughter, Kylie, man, she's sitting there peeling shrimp like a squirrel, man, eating them things, buddy. She ate a plate of shrimp about that big around, got done, wiped her face, come walking around the corner of the table, climbed up on my lap, and she said, thank you, Poppy. I said, you want me to go buy another 20 pounds and start all over again? Isn't that the greatest thing in the world? You ever wonder if God doesn't want us just come around once in a while, nuzzle up next to Him? Say, I don't need anything today, God. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you. See, God's trying to, aren't you glad somebody brought the gospel to you? If you don't have nothing else to thank God for, you ought to be thankful that God brought the gospel to you. And there's millions of people today will never hear. Amen. God's trying to teach us some things when it comes to giving the faith promise. He's trying to teach us that we can extremely trust Him in everything we do. That it's eternal treasures that we're building. It's extending our testimony. But if I don't get nothing else tonight, it's an exalted thanksgiving. 9/11 hit, and America was thankful for God. But a few months later, Sunday night, there's some people mighty thankful. But what about 2-3 weeks, 2 months from now?